You know, I've had something on my mind this week. Circumstances in my own family and things that happened to my brother's family primarily. And I think you can relate to what I'm about to share with you. And that is that sometimes in life things just happen that we can't explain. Would you agree with me at that? Have you had that happen to you? You just can't explain it. I mean, sometimes things happen and they're just senseless. They happen without reason. We can't figure it out. And on occasion, they're even hurtful. But when those things happen, I've learned to do something that, at least for me, it helps. Because when those things happen to us, you just feel worn out by them. You feel tired. But I've learned to do something that restores my strength. When those things happen, you feel hurt, but I've learned to do something that if I'll just allow it, it'll provide me with comfort. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is just to share with you what I do, what I've learned to do, in the hopes that when you find yourself in a similar situation, that maybe you would do this same thing and that it would be of help to you. Here's what I do. Instead of spending all my time trying to figure out this stuff that I can't figure out. I mean, you got stuff like that. You got stuff going on in your life and it just doesn't make sense to you. You don't know why it's happening. Maybe it's even hurting. And instead of spending all your time dwelling on that stuff that you can't figure out, instead of continually asking yourself those questions over and over and again, and you still don't have any answers for them and you're not going to get any answers for them, I turn my attention to the stuff that I know. Why dwell on that stuff that just causes me anxiety that I'll never figure out? That's senseless. There is no reasoning to it. So I spend my time thinking about the things that I know, the things that I can understand, the things which I am so confident of. And I've discovered in my life that those things are enough. There's enough of that it can undergird me. Those truths that I can be absolutely certain of are sufficient for me. They support me, and if I'll let them, they'll bring me comfort as well. In Sunday school, we've been studying the book of Psalms for about 2 months now. We're getting close to the end of it. And we have, on more than one occasion, come across one particular word. It occurs quite a bit in Psalms. It is one of the most important words in the Old Testament. It occurs almost 250 times in the Old Testament. That's a lot. Sometimes in English it's translated, maybe even most of the time, certainly in the New American Standard, with the English word loving kindness. Unfailing love, New International calls it. Sometimes covenant love. I think King James uses the word a lot of times, mercies, or even tender mercies to translate it. Loyalty. There's a handful of other words that are sometimes used to translate this one particular word, one of the most important words in the Old Testament that occurs almost 250 times. It is a word that is describing an attribute of God, and here's his attribute. His love for us is without end. Unfailing, unending, steadfast, everlasting love for those of us who put our faith and trust in Him. And that word describes, it captures, that when He makes promises to you, He will not break them. Sometimes we make commitments. We fail to honor those commitments. We didn't necessarily intend to. It's just part of our nature, but not God's. It's not part of His nature. He never does that. Sometimes we pledge love, but then things happen, and we focus on those things that happened, and somehow we determine and we make up that we don't feel in love anymore, and unfortunately it happens too many times. It's just part of our nature, but it's not part of God's nature. He never does that. Once we become a child of God, once we put our trust in Him, God's love for us is unfailing. It is without end. His love for us never fails to honor his commitments. His nature will not allow that. The Bible repeatedly talks about God doing what he does because of this particular quality of God. So many times it says he does something, but it's in accordance with, it's consistent with this attribute he has of unfailing love for us. I'll give you some examples. In Psalm 13, David is complaining. Have you read Psalms before where he's complaining about stuff that's going on? David is complaining about these people who are causing him trouble in Psalm 13. And close to the end of that psalm, David finally comes around. He says, but. So in contrast to all this trouble he's got around him, he says, but. And then listen to what he says. I have trusted in thy loving kindness. David is saying that he's relying on it. He doesn't understand why all this trouble is going on around him. But instead of dwelling on that, he's going to fall back on what he knows, what he relies on, what he depends on. And that was God's loving kindness, his unfailing love. There's another psalm, Psalm 40. It just so happens it's also written by David. And David in that psalm has already acknowledged that God has already heard his prayers and he has delivered him from what David referred to as a pit of destruction. And about halfway through that psalm, David expresses something that he knows. And I just want you to listen to the confidence, the way he writes this. He says, you, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. And then he says this, your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. He says, your loving kindness, your unfailing love and your truth will continually preserve me. That's what he falls back on. That's what he knows. I like one particular, I call it a translation. It's really not, it's more of a paraphrase, but it's called The Message. Some of you have looked at it. And in that particular passage, The Message says, your love and truth are all that keeps me together. Boy, I've learned that. And I would encourage you, if you find yourself in situations and things are happening and they just don't make sense, they're unreasonable, you can't provide all the answers to the questions that you have about it, I would just encourage you to fall back on what you know. And let God's truth and let the assurance of God's unfailing love undergird you, support you, and comfort you. I've learned to do that. I've learned to fall back on what I know. And God's unfailing love and his truth are really all that keeps me together sometimes. Especially in those times that I cannot understand what's happening around me. And I don't want you to think that this is just an Old Testament truth, because it's true, it's in the New Testament as well. And you know the verses, you've heard it, you've read it. It doesn't use the word loving kindness, it doesn't use that Old Testament word in this particular passage, Romans 8, but it's what Paul is talking about. Listen to what he says. He says, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able. In other words, it won't have the power to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you. That is an amen verse. It's just telling us you can fall back on that truth. You can rely on it. You can depend on it. There's nothing that's going to separate us because his love is unending. And Paul says he knows that. He is convinced of that. I got one passage that I'm going to read, and then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. It's a passage in 1 Peter. I'm going to read it all the way through, and then I just want to make a few comments about it. Peter is going to be praising God right at the beginning of this. And he's praising God, it's really for this quality of God, this unending love. He's not going to say unending love or loving kindness. In this, he's using the New Testament counterpart to that word. And here it's going to be translated as God's great mercy. Listen to what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter is praising God for this unending love. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, in accordance with this unending love, in accordance with his great mercy, in accordance with this, in keeping with, consistent with this quality of God that he will not give up on his love for us, he then caused us to be born again. He gave us new life. He gave us life to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in order to obtain something. He wanted us to have something. And it's this inheritance, Peter calls it. And then he describes that inheritance with three words. Did you hear the three words? He says that inheritance that God has caused us to have as a result of Jesus dying on the cross and then being raised from the life and our faith in that, in accordance with God's unending love for us, he has given us this inheritance, which is, he says, imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. Now think about that description. It's imperishable. It cannot decay. It cannot die out. It cannot come to an end. It's undefiled. In other words, it's not going to spoil. It's never going to become corrupted. And it will not fade away. It'll never become less than what it was originally because of time, listen to me, or because of circumstances. It is reserved in heaven. Peter praises God. It is reserved in heaven for not everybody, but for you who are protected by the power of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. See, one of the things that I know, one of the things that I find myself falling back on, finding strength and finding comfort is that that inheritance that God has promised us is reserved not by my power to hang on to him. Because sometimes my power is weak. How about yours? What God has in store for me is not reserved in heaven by my power to hang on to it, because quite honestly, sometimes my power is so weak that I might allow the circumstances of my life to overcome me. And God would much rather my faith overcome those circumstances. But it's just a part of my nature. I can be weak. And while God grieves when I allow that to happen, it does not change his nature. It doesn't change who he is. And there is this quality in God to have this unfailing love. And our inheritance is protected by God's power to hang on to us. So see, here's one of the things that I know. And here's what you need to remember this morning. It is important for you to remember. If and when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, committing to him to make him the Lord, the Savior of your life, out of his unfailing love and consistent with that unfailing love, God then made promises to you None of those promises have been erased or wiped out for any reason, including any shortcomings you might have. None of those promises have lost their luster. None of those promises have faded or in any way become less than what they were when He originally gave them to you at the moment you gave your heart to Christ. And those promises have been reserved. They've been guarded and kept. They've been held secure in heaven. Not for everybody, but for you who are protected by the power of God. Not by your ability to hang on to Him, but by His power to be able to hang on to you because of your faith in Christ. Though weak it may be at times. And it is this truth of God's unfailing love that we need to remember. And it is that truth of God's unfailing love that we need to allow to strengthen us and at times even to comfort us. And it is that truth of God's unfailing love that ought to compel us to love Him with a consistency, with a steadfastness, with a, as best we can, an unending kind of love. That we would not allow circumstances to interfere with our love. And that we would forgive or ask for that forgiveness of our sins that would separate us momentarily, break that relationship with Him. He still loves us, but the fellowship would be broken because of that sin. But because we love Him because He first loved us, then we want that to be removed. Are you with me? We don't need God to do something else for us to praise Him. What more could He do than to pledge to us that He'll never stop loving us? Let's bow for a word of prayer.